The following presentation was produced by St. Joseph Communications.
Repeat after me. I am.
I am.
A beloved mother.
Beloved daughter.
Of my Abba Father.
Of my Abba Father.
He has good things for me.
He has good things for me.
And I choose to receive them.
And I choose to receive them.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I renounce and bind.
I renounce and bind.
All spirits not of God.
All spirits not of God.
Off of this place.
Off of this place.
Off of me.
Off of me.
Off of my life.
Off of my life.
Off of my family.
Off of my family.
And in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I claim the victory.
I claim the victory.
Of the cross.
Of the cross.
That the blood of Jesus won.
That the blood of Jesus won.
And that I trust in.
And that I trust in.
And I claim it in Jesus' name now.
And I claim it in Jesus' name now.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Fill my life.
Fill my life.
And help me.
Help me.
To receive with Mary's heart.
To receive with Mary's heart.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good afternoon, ladies. Wow, that was one loaded introduction, and Father's prayer was just amazing. Let's give him a round of applause because that was magnificent. Father, thank you. Bless you. That was unbelievable. I feel absolutely honored that I get to be here today to speak with you women. That is really where my heart is at right now, and I just thank God that he's given me the privilege to be here today. And I'm still kind of on a high because let's be honest here. Okay, I'm just going to put it out here and I wasn't going to. 2 days ago, we found out that we're pregnant. Thank you, but I'm just kind of all over the place and I'm just a little sick and I'm kind of just like, woo. So anyway, just kind of bear with me, okay? This is where I'm at. I just want to can't really let you know where I'm at unless you know where I've come from. And I'm going to start actually way back when in my childhood. And growing up, my father left when I was 2, and my sister was 4, and my mother raised us by herself. And my mother had 6 brothers and sisters, and every single one of them except one, as I grew up, ended up getting divorced. And there was a lot of hardship and heartache, and even my grandfather. My grandma was 53 years old, and he ended up leaving her for another woman. And it was an absolute heartbreak for me because I just looked up to him, and I loved him. And when he did that, it devastated me. It just destroyed me. And I realized in that moment as an 11-year-old girl, love doesn't last. Love isn't a forever thing, and it's going to go away. So you need to protect yourself, and you need to keep yourself safe, and it's going to say goodbye. And so when I got into high school, that wasn't going to serve me very well. And I got into relationships in high school. And when I was a sophomore in high school, I had my first serious relationship. And after a while, we thought we were in love and everything was great. And slowly, we started to get very physical. And slowly, the pressure starts to set into the relationship. And it came to a point where he said, well, girl, if you love me, if you truly love me, you'd show me. So I needed advice. I went to my girlfriends and I said, well, he wants to do this with me and he wants to do that. And they said, well, if you aren't doing this with him, if you aren't doing that, what's wrong with you? Everybody's doing it. You love him, right? And I thought, well, yeah, I love him. So at the age of 15, I lost my virginity thinking it was going to cause this huge, great emotional bond. We'd be on cloud 9 and so in love. And in all actuality, eventually, any of that love was destroyed, and all respect was thrown out the window. Because if I can respect my own body, how was he supposed to respect it? And after a while, we were constantly fighting, he cheated on me, and we went our separate ways. I will never forget the day he walked away from me for the very last time. And as he walked away from me, all I could think about was that guy's taking something with him that never belonged to him in the first place. But I can't get it back, right? What's the point? It's already gone. And from that point on, it was just this spiral. He was the first, it wasn't the last, because sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go, one, and two, ever expected to go. And I was into the partying, I was into the drinking, you name it, I was into it. And at the time, yeah, it was a lot of fun, it's very attractive. I knew what that was like. But I also knew what it was like to wake up the next day when that party was over, my friends were gone, and I was there by myself. And I'm just thinking, what am I doing? But I just thought, it's too late. What's done is done, right? Now, my poor mother, I mean, I really put her through it. I really put her through it. And the night she stayed up and praying for me. And I'm pretty sure my big conversion came from my mother and all of her prayers and sufferings. And she just at this point didn't know what to do. So she kind of enticed me and she said, well, there's a pilgrimage going to Rome. Why don't you go with your girlfriend? I'm like, hey, let's go to Rome. You know, I was all on board for that one. And so it was my 18th birthday. Okay, let me set the stage here. It's my 18th birthday. I'm in St. Peter Square. Pope John Paul II is doing Mass, and it's Pentecost. And it blew me away. It was magnificent. And I will never forget the feeling that I had kneeling down during time for communion, rocking back and forth like a baby bawling and crying because I couldn't go up and receive communion because I knew I was in mortal sin. I knew my filth I was living in, and there's no way. As much as I tried to justify it, and I wanted to just race up there with all of my might, and I knew something incredible was happening, something holy, something amazing, I couldn't be a part of it. And I will never forget that feeling. And it really did something in my depths. And little did I know, like not too far, in St. Peter Square was Jason with a woman or a girl, whatever, he was dating that he thought he was going to marry. How funny is that? Now, I didn't meet Jason for years later, but you just never know what God is doing, you know? It was beautiful. So I went back home with a lot of despair. I mean, I ran to confession, but it didn't last. I got back into the partying, got back into the dating, got back to the bad relationships. And my poor mother, here she comes again, trying to find a solution, because she's just up to here, right, with my lifestyle. She says, Crystallina, there's a talk. There's a talk, and you are going, and it's about purity. And I laugh in her face. I'm like, what? No, that's okay, thanks. You're going if you like it or not. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to lose my car. I'll sit in the very back of the church for 15 minutes, and I'm out of there. I have a party to go to. I have friends to see. I don't have time. But God really changed my life in that 15 minutes that I thought I was going to sit there. There was a guy who's very honest, blunt, and real. Talked about all of the girls, all of the sex, all the pornography, everything that he had been into, he laid it out. And I felt like he had grabbed my hand out of the audience, and he walked through my life. Like he could see the things I was most ashamed of and hiding. And I thought, what's the difference? He's done the same exact things I've done. And I just watched him. And he had this peace and this joy and this confidence that he carried about himself that I didn't see that in my friends. I didn't see that in the places I went to. And I definitely didn't see that in the guys I was dating. But he had one quality above all of them that pierced the darkness of my heart. It's that he wasn't ashamed of himself. I thought for one moment, just one day, one moment, that I hadn't been ashamed of myself since I started living that lifestyle. And I couldn't find one. A single day of just true peace and joy, not worried what I had done prior that night, prior that week, and all the mistakes, the heaviness of the sin always lingering over me. And I was sick of it. But he didn't have that anymore, and I wanted it. And I went home that night and I wrote down every single thing this guy had said and I put it in an envelope. And every time I was tempted to go back to that lifestyle, I'd read my old letters and I'd write a new one. And I slowly had a conversion of heart. I slowly changed. I didn't fall back into those sexual sins anymore. But granted, you don't become a saint overnight either. And I had a foot in both worlds. It was very difficult. I was with my friends, but I wanted to change. I wanted to be good. I didn't necessarily know how. And one night, I was coming from a party doing things I knew I shouldn't have been doing, right? But you just fall back into your old ways and your bad habits. And I would always pass by this adoration chapel. And it's really late at night. I'm by myself, and I'm just feeling that yuck that you feel. And something, I just pulled in into the parking lot, this Adoration Chapel. And I'm sitting there, and I like just stop as if someone was in the car with me. And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? What am I doing? You can't go in there. He doesn't want to see you. What are you doing? And I look like a crazy person. If a cop passed by, I swear he would just come over and see what's going on in that parking lot, right? And finally, I got the courage, and I said, okay, I'm going to go in. And I went in, and I put my head down, and I couldn't look up at him. I just couldn't look up at him. And I kneeled down, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what are you doing here? And I'm thinking, oh, I hope those women don't smell this party on me. And finally, I mustered up the courage, and I looked up at Jesus in the Eucharist. And I said, here I am, my God. Here I am in my filth. Please help me. And I jumped up, and I ran out there as fast as I could, thinking, stupid, stupid, what were you doing in there? You know, and I got in my car, and I just bolted out of there. But that moment was huge for me. That moment was major, because I realized the big lie that I was feeding myself. And it was that I thought God would only love me when I was perfect, when I was that saint, when I was holy. Right? That's when you deserve God's love. And that was the lie, because he wanted to love me in my filth, in my shame, in my brokenness. And that's where I saw Jesus. That's where he was with me. And he called me. He invited me. It was him that pulled me into that parking lot that night. And that was huge for me. That was huge for me. And I realized after that, well, I have a problem with all these loser guys, and I keep dating them, and I didn't know what to do. But I realized, well, what did I really want in a guy? Like, how many women really think, what do I really want in a man? What are the longings of Kristalina's heart? And I sat down in a chapel one day, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to figure this out, because I'm just causing nothing but problems for myself. And I sat down, and I start writing one thing after the other, and you know, it started getting fun. I'm like, oh, I like this, you know, I'm knowing what I want. And I kept writing and writing, and it came to 60 things that I wanted in a man. Talk about high maintenance here, okay? And I'm thinking, whoa, 60, it's never gonna happen, but at least I know. And this is the point of all of this. At least I knew the basic longings of my heart that I had no business settling for less anymore. Because when those sweet-smelling, smooth-talking guys would come my way, if they didn't have the basic qualities that I wanted in a man, I knew I had no business dating them. Would I have been lonely on Friday night? Absolutely. But would the pain have been much worse that it wouldn't have worked out? Yes. So I knew, and it was somewhat of a protection for me. And it was really beautiful, that inspiration that God gave me to do that, because it really helped me, let me tell you, down the road. After I graduated from high school, I did not know what I wanted to do with my life. I really was worn by the world by the time I graduated. You know, everything the world wanted to offer, I took, and I just felt so beat up and worthless and disgusted with myself. And I had a lot of healing that had to take place, and I knew if I went into the lion's den of college, I would get eaten alive all over again. And that was not God's path for me. And so what I did is I became a missionary for 1 year. And they actually sent me over to Ireland. And then I got to go to Switzerland and Spain. And I was just living for God for a year. And let me tell you, it was amazing and hard all at the same time. It was difficult because I wanted to fall back into my own old ways, but God wouldn't let me. And I wasn't even in the same country anymore. Like, I just couldn't call up that friend, you know? And he knew. He was smart. And he loved me that much. And so after I got back, I knew what my calling was. I knew what my vocation was, and I wanted to help women. I wanted to help young women and, like myself, let them know it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, that it doesn't matter. But all that matters now is where you go from here, and that God can restore you. God can make you new. He wants you. He loves you. And your past mistakes will not and cannot define your future, only if you let it. And I wanted to scream from the rooftops. this message, especially to my friends, just falling over and over and over, because I never heard this message. And nobody was telling us this message either. And if nobody was going to do it, I was going to do it. And that was it. My mind, when I decide something, it's over. And that was it. That's what I wanted to do. And so I went home and I started like looking at different crisis pregnancy centers, and I wanted to be just speak to women. I just wanted to get in front of women and speak. And while my mother comes up to me and she says, "Well, you know, there's a conference in the Bahamas. If you want to learn how to be a chastity speaker, sign me up, Mom. Let's go. I'm ready. Let's do this." You know, who wouldn't do that? And it's so funny because while I was going through this transition, I knew I was called to marriage. And whenever a guy would approach me or we started becoming friends, I used to think in the back of my mind, is this it? Is this him? Is this my soulmate? You know, and I was kind of getting wrapped up in that too, because you can fall into that. Because when you want something so bad, you kind of create it in your mind. And it's so funny because when I went to the Bahamas, well, there he was. That's where I met Jason. And it's so funny because when you stop focusing on yourself and your wants and your needs, God, he always surprises you. And he's so generous. And there was Jason, and that's where we met. And there was my husband, you know, and I met him, and something in me, I just knew. We both knew, but of course, say, "I'm going to marry you," you know, and freak me out. But it was just really beautiful. And we were friends for a year, and then we courted for a year. And it was just beautiful. And in that time is when we started speaking together. And God can use a broken vessel to do miracles, to do wonders. And I just felt like this broken vessel. But it was the way that he allowed me to go out and help women and do my message. And it was just beautiful who God gave me, this amazing, holy man of God that honestly, deep down, I didn't think I deserved him. I was so broken and I did so much that I'm thinking, God, I am not worthy of this. And it's not, I'm not worthy of Jason. That wasn't it. It's just, I felt so unworthy of that genuine love, you know, because everything I had was a counterfeit. And so Jason and I, we ended up getting married. And marriage, I'll be honest, was nothing what I thought it would be. You know, it looks beautiful, ladies. You don't know. And it is. It is beautiful. It really wasn't what I thought it would be. And I was pregnant 3 weeks after we got married. So, I mean, God just like threw us right into it. There you go. You know, we're doing this. And one, I didn't expect that. And two, we had 3 kids in 4 years. I mean, one after the other, after the other. It was just like, whoa, slow down, God. I'm not even buckled up yet, you know? And it was just constant. And, you know, you just go with God's flow, because that's what we do, right? We go with God's flow. And problems really started to surface for me. I really started having issues and struggling, and I'm not a good enough mom. And I was crying a lot. I was angry. I had all these emotions that just were bubbling, and I didn't know where they were coming from. I'm like, why am I feeling this way? What is going on with me? And it just seemed to kind of get worse. And one day, oh man, I'll never forget this. I'm in the kitchen, right? The house is trash. Kids are all over the place. I have rubber gloves on. I'm pregnant. I'm doing dishes. And I start bawling just right there. Just, I'm crying. And Jason comes over to me and he's like, "It's okay, honey. God just has you under construction right now. You're going to be fine." And I start crying harder, like, "Thank you." You know, it was true. I look back at that and it's funny, but it was so true, because I was. But I realized all of my life, and women are really good at this, and I was excellent at this, is stuffing our stuff. I heard a woman say that once. You stuff your stuff. We just keep stuffing. You know, this happens, we stuff it. That happens, we stuff it. We don't want to deal with it. I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to deal with a lot of things in my life and a lot of wounds and hurts I caused myself. So I stuffed and I stuffed, and I literally could not stuff anymore. And at some point, there is a limit to that, and it starts coming out in different ways. It can start coming out in my marriage. It starts coming out in my friendships, even with my family, with my children, just everywhere. It was just going all over the place, you know? And it's so funny because I remember going and getting coffee one afternoon, like, I just need a break. Okay, time to go take a break yourself. And I went to a coffee shop, And I walked in, and there's this beautiful young girl. "How can I help you?" she says. And I look down at the menu, and her arms are right there, you know, showing me the menu. And I see cuts, scars of cuts up and down her arms. And I knew she was a cutter. And I thought to myself, wow, I can't even imagine what that smile, that beautiful smile, is covering up on the inside. And that's some heavy stuff. And we stuff it and we stuff it, and I would put a mask on. Everything's fine. I'm fine. Who says they're fine? Everybody says they're fine, right? We're not. I wasn't fine. I was a mess inside. I really was. And I always felt just not good enough. You're not lovable. You're not good enough. And I always struggled with this, and there was so much negativity over me. And I prayed for a very long time to God, like, what is happening to me? Please show me. Please just reveal to me. I don't care what it is. I kept saying, I don't care what it is. I just don't want to feel this way anymore, right? And I remember writing a letter. And I started writing, and I really felt the Lord in my heart saying this to me. And I ended up writing it down, so I'm going to share it with you. He said, "My child, I expect great things from you, but why do you not expect them from yourself? I have abundant graces to give you, yet you don't ask for them. I am always ready to help, but you leave yourself to your own devices. You cause yourself and others around you so much unnecessary pain. You are not the cause of all of the heartache, but you are responsible for some. I will reveal to you the problem, but be prepared for the outcome." And I'm thinking, I don't care what it is, just give it to me, you know? And it took some time, and that actually kind of scared me a little bit, but I think I was at the point where enough was enough, and I was ready. And through a lot of prayer, through a lot of humility, I realized, you know what, I need to go to counseling. I need a counselor, and I really need to sort this out. And that was a hard thing for me, because growing up, counseling is, there's like this bad connotation. Like, if you go to counseling, well, you've got problems. You've got mental problems, something's wrong with you, and psychologically, well, you're off, right? That's what I used to think. But I'm thinking, if I don't go to counseling, I just don't know what's gonna happen. And it was time, and it was humbling, and I did it. And I realized if I didn't go, that I went as far as I could with in my relationship with God, in my marriage, in my motherhood. I just couldn't go anymore. I felt handicapped by whatever was going on with me. And it was time to just dive in. And God wanted so much more for me. And until I wanted it for myself, I knew it was going to stay the same. And I heard someone say this. This woman, she's just very spunky. And she says, "You know, all these women go around, I wish I was this, I wish I was that. And they need to stop wishing with that wishbone and go get a backbone." And when she said this, I'm like, that's me. Oh, yeah, there I am. That's me. That was for me, Lord. And I heard this, and I'm laughing, but it rang very true, right, in my life. And I just had to go with the seasons of God. And I had to deal with that yuck and the brokenness in my life. And for 3 years, I went through this massive healing process. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, but it was the most amazing thing I've ever done. And in that time, what was revealed to me that I hadn't really known or I suppressed is that I was really abused as a child. Physically, emotionally, sexually, I was very abused. And I must have suppressed everything, and it really just couldn't be suppressed anymore. But everything is in God's time. And it was in God's time that that's when it came to the forefront. And it really was destroyed. The secret and the shame and this brokenness was started destroying my life, but only because I was letting it. But then it's when I went to the counselor and we dealt with it and we brought it to the light, then I could let that wound heal. And so much of my life made so much sense to me after I figured out what's going on. So much of it, and it revealed so much about myself as well. And in that time, I really had to deal with feelings of abandonment, pain, fear, disgust, being unprotected, being really vulnerable, and just downright unloved. Why was I so unlovable? All of these things, just this not enough, just thing constantly over my head, and I had to deal with that. And all of these unresolved wounds reinforce those feelings. And all the inadequacy and all of the, you're not good enough, you're never going to amount to anything, you're a stupid girl, you know, constantly going through my head overwhelmed me, but I had to deal with it. And then what I realized, not just the wounds that were inflicted upon me, but I had to deal with the wounds that I caused myself. That I caused myself in high school, that I allowed happen to me, the things that I participated in. You know, I really hurt myself as well. Everything just made so much sense, and the pieces came together. And there I was, I ripped that Band-Aid off, and there was nothing but ugly truth staring right back at me. And it was brutal. And it was intense. And some days I just wanted to stop. I couldn't deal with it anymore. And some days I thought, okay, it's almost over. I'm getting to the root of it. And I thought, oh my gosh, the light at the end of the tunnel. And then I realized it was this massive train just coming right for me, just to knock me right out again, you know? But there was a light at the end of the tunnel. And there are three things that I did during my healing process. Three massive things that I did that got me through it. The first one was counseling. That was hard. And I had to admit that I needed a counselor to go, to follow through, and have that personal responsibility for myself, and to show up at my own fight. Like, we have to show up at our own fight. And did I fall in my fight? Absolutely. Did I fall again? Absolutely. But what Jesus wants is us to get up and fight for it. He wants us to fight. He wants us to get up and show up and have that personal responsibility, and he's right there with you. Even when you fall, his hand is right there saying, let's go, I'm with you. He was my biggest cheerleader. It was unbelievable. Because even at times when I felt like nobody believed in me and I was alone, I felt like he believed in me. And it made me believe in myself. And it was hard at times, but I got through it. And that was the point. Now, if you want a counselor, you think about counseling, and you're thinking in the back of your head, maybe I have some brokenness, maybe I have some issues, maybe I can go to counseling, or maybe I need counseling. Just shop for a counselor, pray about your counselor, and even if you meet with your counselor and you may not like your counselor, there are plenty more, you know? But make sure you're comfortable, you feel secure, and you pray about it. And you'll know. If you do it with God, you'll know. And I knew when I found my counselor, and she was just such a blessing to me. The next thing I did was adoration. Adoration absolutely transformed me as a woman. And my starting point, I felt like, is when I turned into that adoration chapel way back in the day when I was young. And sometimes I would walk into adoration completely crumbling. Just sad and just, Lord, what's going on with me? And I would just go in there and bawl some days. Other days I would journal. Other days I would pray. Other days I would just sit and listen. But it was such a powerful force in my life. And it doesn't matter what is going on in your lives. It doesn't matter. Maybe you've been raped in your past. Maybe you've had an abortion. Maybe you've been molested. Maybe you self-medicate your pain away. Maybe you sexualize your anger. Maybe even have same-sex attractions. I don't know. You just never know. The amount of weight that you can take into adoration that God is there. Jesus is there. He waits for you there. And there is nothing that he can't deal with that you take in there with him. And there is nothing that he won't give you the grace in your life right now, no matter what it is, to deal with. And I really had a lot to deal with. But every time I went to adoration and I left, I had the strength and the courage to walk out that door and keep going on the journey that he set me on. And it was through adoration. So go to adoration, go to Jesus and give him everything there. And I really believe it's the most powerful things that we have in our Catholic Church. I think it's one of the most powerful things on this earth is Jesus in the Eucharist, and he is completely at our disposal. The last thing was a priest. I found a priest that was my confessor during that time, that I could have spiritual direction with, and that would really keep me accountable. And I went to confession every 2 weeks because it would keep me in check. And I was going through a lot that I didn't want to fall back into the same sins that I was doing. I didn't want to fall back into the same things that I was doing. So find that priest. And through that also came some prayer that he did with me, because it's all not just emotional. It's not all just emotional. Some of it is spiritual, but that's what you have to decide and discern with your priest, if that's the right path for you or not. And he will know if he's a good spiritual director and a good priest. And one of my favorite quotes is from Saint Therese of Lisieux. And she says that God does not inspire us what cannot be done. And God put this on my heart a really long, long time ago, that I knew I was going to have to deal with these things. And I ignored it. I shut it up. I didn't want to deal with it. I just wanted to stuff it. But it came to the point where it was time. And it was a crossroads in my life. And I read this quote, over and over and over and over as I was going through this. And it really helped me. It energized me. And it's just what I needed to keep going, because at times it really did get hard. And I realized that my darkest hour that I had, and in the deepest pain of my life that I was experiencing, that Jesus was right there next to me. When I felt so alone, he was right there. And you know what? I put God in a box. I put Jesus in a box. Like, he is this omnipotent God, big and huge in the universe, and like he was just so big for me. But that's not what he wanted. He was right there, and he constantly revealed himself to me through that. And I realized also that the sins of my family affected me, and that I decided, and like I said before, when I decide something, it was over, and I decided no more. That it was going to end with me. That I was not going to, one, pass this on to my children, and that the buck stops here. And that it was not, no more. And I got angry even, but it was a good, healthy anger. And it kind of kept me going on my path. And all my life, I was running from the brokenness and the yuck and the shame and the secrets that just were hovering over me. And I just faced it head on. And like I said, it was the hardest thing I did in my life, but it was the most important, unbelievable thing that I did in my life. While I was going through all of this, like I said, I like to journal, I like to write, and I was in adoration, and I'm just writing, 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 and then I would go home and I would read it, and it would help me. And I realized I compiled this letter that I really felt like Jesus spoke to me again, and it was such a gem, and I would read this over and over, and it would really help me. But then after my healing process kind of was ending, I read this letter, and I realized, just for me. This was for women, because we struggle with all of these things, and so I'd like to share it with you. Why do you always seek man's approval? Why are you always wondering, do I look pretty enough? Do I sound smart enough? With a shadow of insecurity hovering above you, you're always trying to keep others interested. And meanwhile, you give yourself away, ignoring your gut. Don't be controlled by the amount of attention and approval that you receive. Stop being ashamed of yourself. Your worth can't come from who you are, who you're with, or what you wear, what others think of you. Are you scared to admit your own self-worth? Do you keep your true beauties, gifts, and talents so locked away and hidden from the world that you can't truly see how amazing you are? Are you afraid of shining so brightly that the light will scare others away? Do not shy from who you are because you fear abandonment or negative opinions of others. You take scraps from the world, but I have given you everything you need deep within you. Everyone's light is different, and some brighter than others. But do not be scared, for your own light was put in you so that others who are blinded by their own darkness can see their light. Why are you scared and sad? And why do you belittle yourself and dim your own light? Your light was made to shine, for that is its purpose. Your beauty, God's beauty, was given for a great reason as well. The darkness has tried to extinguish this beauty within, but it cannot. It will not be put out. At times you allow your insecurities to overpower you and your thoughts run wild, but with Jesus' love you can control any vice, wickedness, or evil weapon that comes against you. It's time to rise up unafraid of who you are and embrace it. Do not lower or hide, because the power of my love and grace will always be there to catch you and show you the way. I will catch you, but will you let me, he says. Deep down, know who you are and what you are supposed to do. Stop lowering yourself to the world and start rising to heaven. Even though it might seem so far away, it is truly all around you. Heaven is watching, praying, and cheering you on. You have a whole army of angels and saints wanting you to succeed in your battle, but the biggest battle of all will be with yourself. Know who you are and what you are not. You are a beloved daughter of Jesus, he who is God. Now, when I read that, no way that was just for me. That we are all in this together. That we all have brokenness. We all have wounds. There's not a woman in here that doesn't struggle with something or have some brokenness from something. That we are in this together, and no, you are not alone. And that was another lie that I fed myself. That, well, you're alone in all this. This only happened to you. All of these just negative things, constant. And that's not the truth. That's the furthest thing from the truth. Things happen to good people, and they affect us. But that doesn't mean that they have to handicap us either. God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of you. We were all created for a purpose. We were all created for a plan. And it doesn't matter what's happened in your past. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life right now, that Jesus can help you overcome anything and use you. You know, use you for a great purpose. And I believe that. And this is truly an invitation. This entire day that you've been blessed to be here with, and that you made the choice, you made the yes. And that's the biggest thing of all today, is that you made the yes and chose to come here. And each and every one of you has a reason and purpose for that. And all of you in your heart have something there, something lingering, something that God has put on your heart from today. Don't ignore it. Listen. Because there's a reason for it, that he put that on your heart and that he put that there. And I want you to imagine for one moment. Imagine for one moment when I heard that guy speak and his testimony, and I'm living my life and I'm partying. Imagine if I heard him and said, you know what? That's cute. That's nice. That's fun. But you know what? I'm having too much fun right now. Maybe it's on my head. No, maybe later. What if I would have said that? I know with all of my heart, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you today. I know I wouldn't have married my husband, Jason. He would have met me and wanted to counsel me, not marry me, okay? It would have been a problem. I already can see it. And my children never would have come into existence if I did not say yes to God. And that is huge. That is major. And the decisions that we make right now today, even when we leave this room, matter tremendously. Don't lie to yourselves. What you do day in, day out matters. And God loves you. God wants you. He wants to use you. And don't sell yourself short. You're important to the kingdom of God. Remember that, especially when those voices try to come at you. And always remember this. Any strongholds or anything in your life that has a lot of power over you that isn't good, you give that to Jesus. You take that to Jesus in confession. You take it to him in adoration. You take it to Our Lady and the weapon of the rosary. Because the devil cannot follow you into the light. He cannot stand it, and he will flee. And you remember that. He will flee. He flees the sight and the light of Jesus Christ, and use that. He loves you, and he wants you. Now, after one of my talks, two things happened. A woman came up to me rushing. Take this, please. And I'm rushing to my plane, you know. And she puts this in my hand. And I didn't even read it for a week later after this happened. And I start bawling and crying. You know, it's a little gem from heaven that God gave me. And she says, I've lived with so much shame, pain, and deep secrets for so long. To hear you speak about the yuck that remains inside and pollutes my spirit, make me realize that I need to release it once and for all. After your talk today, I am ready to get rid of that yuck. I confessed today after 3 decades, and I started to release the guilt and shame, that I am ready to give it to God so he can make me new again. I am certain that my life will continue to heal, and today has been a new beginning for me. That woman's heart was pierced. The darkness was pierced, and she's ready to start over. I got an email from a 75-year-old woman, and she said, thank you. My father molested me when I was a little girl. I have held on to this shame all of my life. And she goes, I'm going to be free. And it was beautiful. Don't carry the weight of sin and shame and brokenness and live handicapped, but become a whole, strong woman for God, because that's what he wants. There is no shame in going and getting help for being healed. What is the shame in becoming a whole woman for God? Nothing. And it's a lie that there is shame around it. And have the strength. Have that backbone, not that wishbone. And let's do what we know as women that we need to do. On my website, the passage that I picked is, behold, I make all things new. And that rings so true. And that is God's promise to us. And don't ever forget that. No matter what. Behold, he says, I make all things new. Just always keep that in your mind when you're discouraged or having a hard time, or whatever it is going on in your life, that is Jesus' promise to us. I would like to end in a prayer, so if we can bow our heads in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Beloved Jesus, be with us in our brokenness and in our fears. Shed your holy light and healing love around us, that we may have the courage and strength and wisdom to know your will in our lives. Give us the grace to become the women you are calling us to be, that we may fulfill the holy plan you have in our lives. Jesus, help us with the things that we struggle with most, so that we may become better women in your sight tomorrow. Any fears, hurts, or anxieties that we have, we surrender to you now, Lord Jesus, in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this presentation produced by St. Joseph Communications. St. Joseph Communications offers a wide variety of audio, video, and print materials on the topics of scripture study, apologetics, spirituality, family life, and much more. To browse the many fine products available, please visit our website at saintjoe.com. That's SAINTJOE.com. The copyright for this recording is held by St. Joseph Communications. The presentation may not be broadcast, reproduced, or redistributed in any manner or form without the express written consent of St. Joseph Communications. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you and your family.